This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Good economic forecasts from Brazil, India, and Saudi Arabia, and why Europe's biggest trade union is on strike.
If they are building up a family home, they probably want to work more hours. And if they're in a difficult family situation, they probably want to reduce flexible hours.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. We start with the World Bank's annual economic forecast. It estimates global growth of 3.1% this year, though it's not necessarily sustained growth. I've been zooming in on specific countries with the report's lead author, Francisca Onsarga, starting with Brazil, where growth is expected to double to 2%.
We saw already last year that it was emerging from the recession of 2015 and 16. And this was partly a reflection of stronger commodity prices that have recovered a bit. It's also partly a reflection of strengthening confidence. It just seems that the economy has bottomed out and the cycle has turned, and now it's feeding on itself with strengthening momentum. So for 2018, we expect growth to be 2% and then strengthen further in 19 to 20.
But sustained?
For the next 2 or 3 years, there's a long way to make up for this pent-up investment demand and consumer demand that really was held back during the recession over the previous 2 years.
Let's talk about another strong developing economy, India. It's had 6.7% growth, the envy of many countries, but you are forecasting that it will go up to 7.3% in the fiscal year beginning April. Is that just an indication that India's reforms, the uncertainty, has now ended?
It's a combination of things. So last year, we were disappointed by the growth outturn of 6.7%. And it was partly because investment surprised on the downside. And that may well continue going forward. And that's why we've revised our forecast down as well. But it's also a reflection of these temporary disruptions due to the general services tax that was introduced in India. And it's very normal that these consumption tax introductions disrupt activity in the short term, the very short term. Something similar happened, for example, when Malaysia introduced it. But now for 2018, we expect a rebound. So growth will actually rebound back to 7.3% and then strengthen further to 7.5%.
Let's look at Saudi Arabia. Are the cultural and economic reforms there driving higher growth forecasts?
Last year, 2017, was particularly low because of the OPEC cuts. And the rebound is simply from a lower base. But in tandem with that we do see confidence improving. The authorities are clearly implementing a major program of structural reform that is supporting investor confidence.
Now, PIMCO and Citi, these are two heavyweights in the finance industry, they've been warning in recent weeks of complacency, that, you know, amid all these forecasts of higher growth, the market should not become complacent. What's your message?
We share the concerns about financial market vulnerabilities. Asset valuations are very high, especially in equity markets, and bond yields are very low. Volatility is also extremely low. What would have upset markets 2 years ago now seems to be just shrugged off. Geopolitical risk is just shrugged off. So there's a real risk that one day financial markets just wake up and there is a correction. And that would, of course, raise borrowing costs. And with 2/3 of emerging markets and developing countries now having higher sovereign debt than pre-crisis and 3/4 having higher private debt than pre-crisis, that will raise the debt service burdens for a lot of emerging markets.
Francisca Onsarga of the World Bank. Let's do the numbers. London's FTSE is higher after data showed UK manufacturing grew for the 7th month in a row, the longest expansion in 20 years. And US oil prices are at their highest level since 2014, thanks to global production cuts and strong demand. Now, in Germany, members of Europe's largest trade union, IG Metall, are warning of wider strikes this week. Nearly 60,000 have already put down their tools. Carsten Renhack, dean of the business school at Bundeswehr University in Munich, explains why.
Regular working hours are 35 hours per week, and they're demanding the right of their members to reduce the working hours to 28 at a compensation, so they don't lose 25% of their wages. And members should be able to extend that even further if they are in a particular family situation, like taking care of elderly or educating small kids.
And do you think there's support for that in Germany?
Well, the union claims they have an opinion poll and it says 60% or so want that. I think people in general want more flexibility. Either way, if they are, I don't know, building up a family home, they probably want to work more hours. On the other hand, if they're in a difficult family situation, they probably want to reduce flexible hours. And what they also want is a right that guarantees them to come back and increase their hours again after a certain period of time when this situation has changed again.
And do you think that the fact that the German economy is doing well is giving confidence to these union members?
Absolutely. It's ideal situation in terms of interest rates, exchange rate, oil price. We are living in full labor market. This is, of course, a golden opportunity.
Now, this is Europe's largest trade union, and they've indicated that this could just be the first of other strikes. What's the potential damage here to industry? We're talking about companies like Siemens, ThyssenKrupp. Do you think those big companies are worried about these strikes?
IG Metall is definitely the very powerful union, and they're organized very well, and they're true PR experts also. They are doing this countrywide, that they're already focusing on the large companies, as you mentioned, but the economic impact at this point should be rather limited.
Carsten Renheck there on looming strikes in Germany. Finally, pareidolia. What's that, you ask? Pareidolia is our penchant for finding faces in everyday objects. Road and Track magazine says automakers have long known this, and that SUVs have sold well in part because their headlights, and big grills form trustworthy and expressive faces. There you go, pareidolia. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.